Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
You know what makes this different? They ain't never seen this Cam. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, where you been on this Friday, man? Charles Barkley stopped by. Dave Archer talking about the Falcons. We've been talking about the Braves. We'll continue that conversation with Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, coming up here in about 15 minutes. It is Dukes and Bell. We'd love to hear from you guys at 404-741-0929. Can't say enough about Bryce Wilson and the job he did last night, but also this lineup coming through and continuing to have clutch hit after clutch hit. Can they do it one more time to get an opportunity to play for a World Series? That's what we're wondering, Mike. We got three games to get it done. Three games to find a way to win one.
Yeah, and the Dodgers, quite clearly, even though you might have to smack Frank Thomas and A-Rod's head together along with Joe Buck, yes, this is where the Braves would be known as having an advantage, and the Dodgers would traditionally know their back would be against the wall. And again, a lot of pressure because the Dodgers have choked, or at least not certainly met expectations as the better perceived team, as they are once again. A.J. Minter is going to go, guys, in case you're just getting in your car. Julio, by the way, can be back for the Falcons, too. But A.J. Minter will start Game 5, and how far can he go? Let's see, man, if he gets on a heater, he'll have plenty of time to ice up if they can win it, and they can ice up with some champagne, too. So let's hope, man, that Minter's got it. He's been really good of late. We said it, just that one home run that he gave up in game two, I should say. But, yeah, he's been really, really good.
Yeah, man, I like our opportunity, not just tonight, obviously now to win the series. It's hard to come back from 3-1. We know it's not impossible. Nothing is. But the fact is, this is going to be a tough task for the Dodgers, and especially the way we're seeing the ball right now. I mean, up and down this lineup. So I'm excited about closing these guys out. And I know the big question, and we'll ask Joe Patrick about this because I know a lot of people are already asking me, Dukes, I don't understand why we are not pitching Freed. We will get into that conversation, okay, because I think it's a strategy play, and I know I'm with you. I get it. I want to go with my best guy too because – I don't want this to slip away. And if you get to a game seven, by the way, if it was to happen, anything can happen. You guys know that. You don't ever want to be in a game seven if you don't have to, because that's when crazy things happen. A guy off the bench hits a home run and you've never heard of him. So,
right. But the other thing is, though, if you go I'll play devil's advocate, which, you know, I never like doing, because I always say roll the dice. I'd start Freed tonight and we'd go with it. But they're going to say, look, if Freed doesn't have his A game, then you're up against it. That Ian Anderson's got to step up. You know, I mean, Ian should be up to it because he's shown he's got the cool factor. He handles it with poise. But it is interesting. I mean, there's a lot of skippers out there that would have gone with Freed tonight.
All right, man. We'll talk to Joe Patrick. Big game Saturday night. Tuscaloosa, guys. I really wish we had an opportunity to be there. And I say that. I'm talking about a full, participation, full audience. That's right. Not going to happen. We know the situation with Nick Saban. Let's get into our dog report.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical Services, guys, 678-329-8887. These are the guys, man, for man caves, for backup generators who always got juice, you name it. They got it, man. Go to brightboxelectrical.com.
All right, before we get into how the dogs win a game, and this game specifically, let's hear from Kirby Smart, Mike, because he was asked about how do you slow down Najee Harris. He had 200 yards against Ole Miss. Now, I don't know if he'll put up that against this defense, but listen to Kirby.
I mean, he's fast, physical, receives the ball well out of the backfield. Makes it much harder to defend. I mean, it's not just Najee, though. It's their offensive line is humongous. I mean, they're every guy's 330, 340, and they wear on you. They lean on you. And it's like Nick used to say, they got weight classes in boxing, and there's a reason. if a guy's a heavyweight and he keeps hitting a lightweight, eventually the heavyweight will knock the lightweight out. And you got to have enough big guys across the line of scrimmage to withstand that. And, you know, we feel like we're in a much better position now than we have been in terms of depth, but we don't have guys across the defensive line as big as their offensive linemen are. The difference is we've got to be able to substitute guys and play guys and try to stay fresh and try to use our depth.
But to allay fears of dog fans, let me just say, Kirby, you know, is not going to put it all out there. But, yeah, he's rotated in 5-star and 4-star and 5-star. So these defenders should be able to step up. I mean, but he's making a big point because those guys are just that big. Let me throw something else at you from the other side. When George is on offense, you just mentioned the Ole Miss game. Ole Miss went up-tempo. We have not really seen a lot of up-tempo. We got a small sample size, right, with Todd Monken, with Stetson Bennett.
Do you
think you take a page out of Kiffin's playbook? And according to CBS Sports, the Rebels snap the ball every 21.8 seconds. So, I mean, do you think that Georgia will do at least some of that to kind of keep an Auburn defense, which is not up to an Alabama defense, Carl, which is not up to Bama's recent defensive standards by going no huddle?
All right, so Alabama all week, you know what they heard? How they missed assignments, how guys were not where they were supposed to be against Ole Miss, and how Ole Miss moved the ball against them. I'm not going to tell you that they shored up all of that, but they know Georgia saw the tape. So the plays that hurt them the most, I believe they'll be ready for. Now, you're talking about tempo? I'm all for it. Tempo works. We've seen it with Alabama defenses in the past. We haven't really seen Georgia potentially do it like Ole Miss because that's what Lane Kiffin does. But for the most part, I'm with you, Mike. I would definitely come out and attempt to give them those looks. But I do think Alabama's going to be prepared for those big plays that they gave up last week because it's a Nick Saban football team. You don't give up that many points, that many yards, and turn right back around the following week and not shore up some of that stuff. We will see. Meanwhile, Kirby talking about strength. And this is what Mike just talked about. 4-star, 5-star, 8-star, don't matter.
I'm excited to go see. You know, I've always loved a challenge. And, we got a good defense. We got a good offense. The game will come down to a lot more than just those two units. I can assure you that. It'll boil down to how our offense and their defense play in the special teams. But I'm excited to see it. I know our guys are excited about the challenge. I'm sure offensively it's the same for them. They've heard about our defense, and our defense has heard about their offense. So it's a great opportunity for both units to go out and compete and go play. But I'm excited to see them. It's going to boil down to the line of scrimmage like it always does. If they have success running it, then they'll have a great play-action game. If they don't, then you try to make them one-dimensional. That's hard to do against Alabama.
So much has been made about no Nick Saban assistant ever beating Nick Saban. Nick Saban is upset. If you missed the press conference yesterday, his virtual press conference, Carl, he's upset that he can't remote coach. Protocol is, as Nick Saban's voice here, if you're in quarantine, you can't have any remote access to the sidelines and you can't go to the game, even if they put you in an isolated area. So never having thought much about it, and because I'm not being critical here, just being critical, if you're the head coach, there ought to be a better way to do it. So Saban is saying, like, can't you put me in like in a cone of purity or a cone of silence or something, like get smart, Carl, somewhere, and he can have access to the team. But apparently that's not in place. It might not be after this, but he did his weekly radio show, and he was asked about it, and he goes, I just think it's really tough. You know, if you got to make a close call, I hate that somebody on our staff have to make that close call and get criticized if it doesn't work. Sarkisian is in charge.
Well, let's hear how Coach is feeling. This is Nick Saban. This was on the Nick Saban show, the weekly show he does. Here's what he said.
How you feeling? You doing okay?
Doing great. I don't have any symptoms. I don't have a fever. You know, they do all those oxygen tests and all that stuff, and everything's normal. So I feel great. Don't have any problems. Been able to do everything that I would do if I were working from here because of Zoom, whether it's be in the meetings, watch the film with the coaches, watch the practice film, have communication on the field that I can still correct players, you know, and the special teams meeting and the defensive meetings and offensive meeting after practice. So I've done everything that I would normally do. I just have to do it from here for now.
I'll be there on Saturday night.
Well, some people still think he's gonna. You know what I mean? Wait a minute. That's Nick Saban on the sideline. You know what I mean? He's gonna do a Willis Reed. You know, he's gonna come out. Watch, have like a giant hazmat suit on. It's Nick Saban. He's oh my God, Nick Saban's on the sideline and he's dressed like the Michelin Man.
Here is Coach Saban talking about Georgia's defense. Are they the best, Coach?
They're very well coached. They have really good players. You know, Kirby does a really good job with them, and they play really, really well. And I think it's going to be really important for us to be able to create some balance so that we can, you know, put them in some situations and not be behind the sticks all the time, because that's when they play a lot of players. I mean, when they put their subs in on third down, there's like 6-7 different guys come in. So they play a lot of different players. They have a lot of depth, and they all play well, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. So it's going to be important for us to do a great job of executing run and pass. And we got to block them when we try to pass, too, because they got some pretty decent rushers.
All right. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our dog report. This is my take on how the Dogs win this game. And Saban's right. I mean, Georgia's defense is doing all the right things. But this game, if you look at it, and you look at the history of Saban, Mike, I believe, okay, when this comes down to Alabama and how they're going to try to speed up and rush Stetson Bennett, they want to make sure that he starts to make mistakes. And the way they're going to do it is they're going to bring linebacker blitzes, and they're going to be blitzing him. And you're going to say, well, wait a minute. He's shown that he can handle that. Here's what Alabama doesn't believe about Stetson Bennett. He's not a mobile quarterback. He is a guy that will get pressure and fold up. He's not a guy that will escape pressure and turn it into a 30 or 40 yard run. So without that threat, they don't have to spy. Without spying, that means blitzes. And so now what's going to happen is Stetson Bennett is going to have to do a couple of things, Mike. One, take your sacks. Throw it away. Do not turn it over. But two, that also means Todd Monken is going to have shots, Mike, down the field in one-on-one situations if they're bringing blitzes with Jackson and Pickens, and I like my chances with both of those guys.
Yeah, man, Kyrus Jackson. Also, if you're going to be getting that heat there, and the offensive line struggles at times, quick hits, slants, quick hits, get the ball out. You know, kind of like what teams have been doing with the Falcons in the second half when we dial up the heat. They get the ball out of there. But, right, it's basically going to be, do you trust Mac Jones? Of course, Mac Jones has been there from the second half of last season to now. Here's the poll question up at Mike Bell ATL. The Bama, by the way, 4.5-point favorite right now. Georgia wins, better defense. 62.4% of our audience says that's the case, so they're confident. 37.6 say Bama wins, better quarterback. Obviously, the running game with Najee Harris you talked about. You get 2 hours to vote at Mike Bell ATL. Real quick, Carl, just some of the other big games. Auburn trying to get some mojo going to South Carolina. Tennessee hosting Kentucky. And Clemson, by the way, is coming to Bobby Dye. That'll be a noon start on ABC, and see if Georgia Tech can hang with the Tigers for a little bit.
I'd love to see it. I really would. I'd love to see an upset, to be honest with you, because I don't think anybody in the country gives Georgia Tech a chance.
And Mack Brown, North Carolina at Florida State. That's about a half hour before Georgia and Bama kick off. But the Tar Heels are rolling, number 5 right now in the nation.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see when it's all said and done, in the ACC specifically. We'll see how it plays out. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're going to talk to Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, about finishing this series. And what's going to happen tonight? It's next. Man, I wish I could be at the ballpark, but it's all good because I'm enjoying watching our Braves do what they're doing right now. Up 3-1 in the NLCS with a chance to go to the World Series. It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday, guys. Steve Koonin's coming up, Hawks CEO, in about 20 minutes, and we'll get to the Falcon Report as well at 5 o'clock. Mike Bell, let's talk to our man Joe Patrick, Braves insider. And Joe, let's start last night with what we saw first and foremost. And I'm talking about Bryce Wilson, 22 years old. Now, I don't want to look ahead because I enjoy moments, right? I enjoy living in the moment. But as I have had conversations with people today about this, they're saying, Dukes, do you really think we need to go out and get a starter? Look at what we've got. You know, Soroka's coming back. You just got a great start from Wilson. He'll continue to grow. You know what you got in Freed and Ian Anderson. And that is a question for the future. I want to just embrace what we saw last night. And Ian, or should I say Bryce Wilson, hadn't pitched in 3 weeks. What did you make of that performance?
It was incredible. And, you know, seeing his parents there kind of cheering him on throughout the game, I think we all kind of felt like that. Like his parents, like everybody was kind of feeling like a proud parent at that time, because he was a guy that does not have really a positive track record in the major leagues for the most part, aside from his last start. His last start in the clincher against the Marlins, the game that clinched the division, was pretty much his first good start of his major league career. And so I guess that gave people a little bit of optimism, but I still think that what he gave you last night was just above and beyond any kind of expectation that anybody could have had from him. And it's going to be a big confidence booster going forward for him. Like you said, Carl, I mean, he said something last night that was really illuminating, which was that, you know, the results of having gone out there and done that against the Dodgers really gave him a ton of confidence in that he doesn't need to worry. Once the ball leaves his hand, he's not scared anymore, because what last night proved is that his stuff plays at this level. And that's always the big thing for these young pitchers. And I think we saw the opposite of it with Kyle Wright, who still, I think, has some of those struggles. Some of those, he just, you know, the second guessing, the fear that the stuff is not going to play and that you're going to get hit. And when you have that kind of concern, you're not going to be able to give, you know, mechanically, you're not going to be sharp. You're just not going to produce the way that we saw Bryce Wilson do last night. So, and he told Kyle, he said, listen, I went out and pitched the same exact game plan that you had in game three. And the difference is that if you can trust this stuff, it's going to work. And he knows that Kyle Wright's stuff is good enough to play at this level as well. So hopefully that can give Kyle some confidence. He might get some time today. But yeah, I mean, I think Bryce Wilson, with that performance that he showed last night, he's going to be pitching more for the Braves this postseason.
Which is awesome. And again, let's hope that they build off this. And yeah, but you still got to go get another veteran to balance this out, because these are still guys that have only, you know, like last night, 43 innings he had in the show before last night, which was unbelievable for Bryce. Hey, man, it's our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's going to be A.J. Minter tonight. Do you like the move? I mean, he his ERA was sub one before the one inning where he did give up the home run, but because it was part of that Dodger comeback that almost was. I mean, are we making too much out of it? How confident do you feel about AJ tonight?
No, I'm very confident in Minter. I mean, I've been a guy all season who's thought that he's been among the Braves' best relievers, and that's saying something considering how impressive the group has been. And I think it makes sense, to go with a lefty to start it. He's probably one of the best lefties you could throw to start the game, whether it's between him or Tyler Matzek. I probably would have preferred Minter to have pitched yesterday instead of Tyler Matzek, because Tyler Matzek, I thought, would be a candidate to start this game. He's a guy who has starting experience in the past. He's got the guy who has a track record this year of throwing a little bit longer in some of his appearances than A.J. Minter, who really, in his career, has hardly ever gone beyond one inning. So it looks like with A.J. Minter, the Braves are really going with a true opener here who will only go one inning. And then they'll pick it up from there. And I think that it's going to be very interesting, just with the way the Braves are going to have to manage this game, with it being essentially a bullpen game. Doesn't really play to Brian Snicker's strengths as a tactical manager who can push the right buttons at the right time. That's just not his style of managing. So it will be interesting to see how he deals with it, because he's going to have a lot of those situations that come up in this game as to, like, which reliever do you want to put in certain situations? When do you pull the trigger on those moves? So it's going to be very interesting. But I think the Braves, I would expect them to get off to a good start with A.J. Minter. I've got no concerns about his ability to pitch against this team. And I think he's got the confidence that he's built over the course of the season. So I've got no concerns.
Let's talk about that dude, Ozuna. 4 for 5, 2 home runs, a double. 4 hits, 4 RBI, first in Braves postseason history to have that, 4 hits and 4 RBI. He's been clutch. We know that. But, as we talked about, Joe, you needed Freddie to be Freddie. He's done that. Acuna, getting on, doing what he's doing. Ozzy, you're getting production. But this, to me, was the key. And last night, it seems like he just turned it up a notch.
Yeah, he had a great quote after the game saying that the goal is to make damage. And he certainly did that last night. He was just crushing the ball. And it's great to see, because he has been struggling a little bit as of late as compared to, his near triple crown regular season that he had. So really great. And, these guys, the players on this team cannot stop talking about what an influence Marcelo Ozuna has been on the Braves. I mean, it was kind of, he was one of the ones who, that when they came to the ballpark yesterday after getting smashed in game three, they all decided to have a dance party to kind of loosen up. And he's obviously a part of that, doing the whole selfie thing. I mean, he really brings an extra element to this Braves team. And of course, we know that Ronald Acuna and Ozzy Albies and those guys have always kind of had some of that in them, and we've been able to see it over a couple of years, but it really seems like it's taken to the next level. And it, first of all, it just makes it a much more fun product to watch for us fans, but also, he's obviously bringing the production he has all season. And, he's not just a fun-loving guy. I mean, I know that he does bring that to the team, and that's what a lot of people see on the outside, but he's actually a really cerebral hitter. Ask any of these Braves players and they'll tell you they're most impressed with Marcell Ozuna in the approach that he brings and the way he thinks through his at-bats. And it's probably one of the reasons why being a DH has been such a great fit for him, not just because of his limitations in the field now as he's gotten a little bit older, but also because he's just kind of, he can just really focus on what he's seeing on the scouting reports and really bring that into his at-bats to get the best out of him.
It's our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And again, we don't know where the budgets are going to be because of, you know, less people through the turnstiles, but I sure hope the, you know, Liberty Media coughs it up and we keep Ozuna. How about Pache, by the way? And I wouldn't wish an injury on Duval, but it seems like Pache, man, we lucked out with how well he and how clutch he's been up today, or has been up to the moment so far.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. I mean, I think we all expected him to come in and be a really solid outfield glove, which he clearly has been. And I got to say, it's really fun, too, to just watch him play the outfield. He really does remind you of Andrew Jones, just in kind of his languidness out there in center field, kind of the way he just nonchalantly catches the ball and stuff. It's very kind of aesthetically pleasing, and especially for a lot of Braves fans who have seen something like that in their lives in the past. But I've been most impressed with what he's brought at the plate. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of hits, but he's gotten some really clutch hits, some RBIs, and he's really done a great job.
Yeah.
Working the counts, yeah, getting on base, doing those small things that really help the team, even if he's not getting a hit, you know, those at-bats go a long way. And he's in a no-pressure situation. There's not really a ton of expectation on him to do much with the bat, so maybe that's helping him out a bit. But just look at his frame, guys. Like, he's been projected by a lot of scouts throughout his career. First of all, he was not a power hitter at all, and slowly those projections have kind of bumped up a little bit. Now he's kind of in the, whoever you ask might say 15 homers a season to on the upside of 25 homers a season. I think he's got potential to hit more than that because, I mean, if you just look at his frame, I mean, the guy is physically impressive. And if he just continues to progress, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for this kid.
Max Fried, full rest. Do you agree with this decision tonight as far as trying to finish him out and maybe starting him on short rest? I know everybody's second-guessing, especially if we lose tonight, but how do you feel about that decision?
Yeah, no, I think it's the right call to make. The only thing about it that surprised me was when they made that decision, because for me, if it were up to me, if you had lost Game 4 and it was 2-2, I would really want to go with Max Fried in Game 5 just because of the importance of taking a 3-2 series lead. But since you've got the 3-1 lead, I think it is absolutely the right decision. If you're going to have to go to the bullpen game at some point, go with it now and then give Max Fried on full rest and Ian Anderson on full rest too, because, you know, the decision to pitch Max Fried tomorrow also knocks back Ian Anderson, so you get kind of an advantage on both of those days. I think it's the right call. And if you look at Max Fried, you know, in his career, he's pitched much better when he's got that full rest instead of having to come back on short notice, which he's only done a couple times. But yeah, I think it's the right decision, and I think that is really what puts the Braves in the driver's seat here, you know. And if you take it back to Bryce Wilson's start yesterday, he obviously gave the Braves a great chance to win that game, which they did, but he also gave them a better chance to win it today because they didn't have to tax the bullpen as much yesterday. So that, the importance of Bryce Wilson's start yesterday really cannot be overstated.
He was so money, and again, with all the pressure because Kyle Wright's flame out the previous night. Real quick, I just want to double down. If Minter, not that he would get through a 9-pitch inning because the Dodgers worked the count, but there's no way we would see Minter go past one with the first inning?
He could, yeah. I mean, I think it depends on how many pitches he throws. I was looking it up earlier today. I think about a handful of times in his career he's thrown more than an inning. He's never thrown more than one and two-thirds innings in his career. But it all depends on the pitch count. I think if his pitch count's fine, if he gets to the first inning quick, he could probably pitch an entire second inning. But Brian Snicker will have a lot of flexibility, of course, to bring in the new reliever since he knows he's not holding out the starter to try to go any determined length of time. So I think that it will just be all the decisions tonight will be very, very flexible and dependent on the context of the game.
Joe, always good to talk with you, man. I'm excited to hopefully be talking about, keep our fingers crossed, the World Series appearance next week. Let's hope so, man.
I hope so, too. Sounds good, guys.
All right, good stuff. Joe Patrick, Braves Insider. Follow him on social media. Coming up, Steve Kuhnen, Hawks CEO, will join us next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is is Catching Up with Coonan, brought to you by Kumho Tire, official tire of the Atlanta Hawks. Now, here's Steve Coonan on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Steve Coonan, I know you're feeling good. You've seen the ups and downs over the years of our Atlanta Braves, but they're close. And we hadn't been this close in a very, very long time. How are you taking in all of the action with our Atlanta Braves right now?
They're just fun to watch. Last night, you know, Kershaw gets out to 1-0 lead, and then Ozuna ties it up, and then we bring the thunder and lightning and knock the crap out of the Dodgers, which is great because all the heat's back on them.
Right. L.A., it's so funny, man. You know, they lost to us in game two, but they scored those runs. Everybody was talking about, oh, they flipped the script. Here we go. Man, the pressure's on them, Steve. I mean, we've talked about how the Braves came up short over the years, you know, with great lineups. These Dodger teams in the last, go back 6-7 years now, have struggled and not brought home the bacon.
Yeah, and this is such an unusual year. I'm not going to be popping the champagne, you know, until it's done. Because the other night got a little testy in the 8-7 win. But we got young guys who are so into it, and they're so talented. And the game's just a different game than it used to be. It's strikeout or home run, and we got some guys who can take it deep.
No doubt about it. It's Steve Coonan, Hawks, CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. Mike mentioned this last week about the new unis, and it's just getting lots of love around the country with the thought and I think just the design of the uniforms. So I just want to mention that again. If you've not seen them, go to Hawks.com or check out their social media. They are really cool. No normal celebration for the Lakers this year. They win the championship. We know what would normally happen, right? Big parade. You'd have all kind of things going on. They celebrated in the bubble. Mike talked about it in Guy Talk earlier this week where, you know, they had a good time. Guys had to be wheelchaired back to their rooms. But it's not the same kind of celebration knowing, you know, what we've all been going through. And I think, does that, you know, in itself, when you look at this season and how things have gone, Steve, I guess what I'm asking is, for the Lakers, everybody said this might be tainted in some way. I've said I think this is one of the hardest championships that it will go down in history to have ever won.
Oh, by far, Carl, you're 100% right. I don't care if you're celebrating in a Red Lobster. you know, the idea of winning a championship after literally being sequestered for 100-plus days, you know, we've seen juries crack in headline trials for being locked up. These guys were literally sequestered. But it talks about chemistry. And the teams that loved each other, the Miamis and the Lakers, and who built great relationships, and the teams who had some internal strife, like the Clippers that you see bleeding out now, the bubble tested another attribute of the teams that it's never tested before, and that's, you know, that's a really interesting piece. And I think next season can't start soon enough, and I think next year will also be quite challenging. We're not going back to normal. I don't even know what the word normal means anymore.
Right.
And that's It'll be a while.
Yeah, whether it's corporate America, sports teams, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're still doing a show from home and probably next year. It is our man Steve Coonan here on the WadeFord.com hotline, brought to you by our buddies at Kumho Tires. So, yeah, man, I voted, by the way, Tuesday. And, man, it was the funny thing was it would have been quicker had I not run into Steve Holman and Salsa. And then, literally people are on the line, Carl, during lunch. Can we move this along? I'm like, Salsa, I'll talk to you later. But it really did work great, Steve. I mean, it was easy as could be.
Yeah, we're seeing a little kind of a competition on Twitter where people are running their stopwatches once they walk into the building till they leave. I think 6 minutes is the best that I've seen. But if you kind of break it down and think about it, we're a large building that's used to handling crowds. It's a staff that's trained in hospitality. Most of the time, volunteers for polls are retirees and they're volunteers. Mm-hmm. These are highly educated, full-time Hawks employees who have one job, and that's to make the voting experience great. And we have great connectivity. We've heard libraries have lost Wi-Fi and multiple-hour waits. And today, I've heard from the publisher of the Business Chronicle and a few other places that they were in and out in 15 minutes. So we're really proud, and we urge everyone in Fulton County, come on down. It's fun, and you get a sticker.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a basketball peach, Carl. It really is cool. People want to get that just for the sticker.
Well, and you put it on, too, and, you know, wear it proud because you've done your
civic
duty. Well,
20% of Fulton County is voting in the building, which one out of every five votes counted you know, cast in Fulton, and it feels like we really are making a difference because we want people to go vote. Where this is nonpartisan, you vote for whoever you want, but you deserve a safe, fast, efficient place to vote. And I think voting in sports arenas hopefully will be an idea that'll change the way we vote and turn some of these ugly headlines into real opportunities.
I think so, Steve. I think we're seeing that around the country. Everybody saw what you guys were doing, and then they said, why can't we do that, you know, with their local folks? And I think you're absolutely right. It's Steve Koonin, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to get your perspective as a CEO, as a manager. When a team moves on and has a change like our Falcons did this last week, obviously it was headlines not only here but across the country with Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff being let go. And those decisions, you know, I know it's easy for fans, but it knows that decisions never come easy for owners or management as you're trying to figure out why things are going the way they are. With that said, how difficult is that within the building when change like this happens? And, you know, you've been through this in your time now with the Hawks and having to deal with changes.
Well, I've only dealt with it once, and it was at the completion of a season when Bud wanted to go to a contender, and he went to Milwaukee, and we brought Lloyd Pearson after the playoffs with Philadelphia. But I can't imagine dealing with it with only 20% of the schedule been played. You know, it's got to be very difficult because you still have most of the season ahead of you. But the stabilizing forces of Rich McKay and Steve Cannon, the coaching staff virtually staying intact, I think that's both a positive and a negative because everybody knows it won't remain the same. The Falcons are not going to stay where we are, you know, for next year. And so I think that creates both opportunity for people to pay attention and potentially improve, but also instability, which does not work well in professional sports. So it's a tough position to be in, and I don't think Arthur or anybody wanted to be changing the head coach after five games, but I think it had to be done.
Mike, can I follow that up
sure.
real quick? Steve, when do you feel the pressure of the fan base as ownership? Because that's something Mike and I talk about with Arthur. And, you know, some people said, he's not listening to us. He doesn't hear us. When does the organization feel that and how that plays out, Steve?
Candidly, I hope he doesn't let the fans decide because I'm a fan. We're not privy to everything. But I think the decision has to be, are the players connecting with the coach? Is the message getting through? What is wrong? Why is this not working? And so the fans amplify the voice, but they you know, I think the fans sometimes know before the organization does. And sometimes the organization thinks that it can fix. Because look at last season, what an anomaly, 1-7, then 6-2. That just doesn't happen.
No, it's true. It's true. And the thing
is,
you went through it. You know, we talked about this as well. Steve Koonin joins us, guys, when you had the 60-win season. And you guys realized, look, it is what it is. Yeah, it's an amazing run, but this team's just not championship, you know, level, that next level. So, and that's frustrating for some fans, and some fans still can't get their head around it. And but I just think, to me, either you're competing, our point is, Steve, either you're competing for a championship or you're wasting people's time.
Exactly. You know, and rebuilds happen in sports. We are still, you know, coming out of our rebuild, and you have to tear it down to build it back up. The NFL can change faster because their salary cap is very, very difficult, and their contracts aren't guaranteed. And we've seen teams go from worst to first many, many more times in football than any other sports. In fact, I think at one time, wasn't there a different winner of the our South, you know, division, 4 years in a row, Tampa Bay, Carolina, New Orleans, and us, each one, one time in 4 years. So I do think football has the ability to fix and heal itself much faster than the other sports.
All right, Steve, let's keep our fingers crossed, man. And as you said, we're not going to celebrate until it's done, but hopefully we're talking about our team being in a World Series next week. You have a great weekend. Go Dogs. Big weekend for the Dogs.
Go Braves. Go to State Farm Arena and vote. And go Falcons.
Right on.
That would be a heck of a weekend if we can pull all four of those off.
Giddy
and by
up.
The way, speaking of open all weekend, yes, we are. Come on down and vote.
Nice. Again, if you couldn't get down from work or whatever, there you go,
man. 7 days a week. Bring the kids down. We got a special sticker for them, too.
Still think the bar should be open, Steve. I think you're leaving money on
the table. You
know
what, Michael? This is a library on steroids. I did an interview with the Wall Street Journal today. They said, what's your biggest regret? And it's like, I have no regrets. We didn't open the bars. We didn't open the stores. We didn't sell tickets. We didn't have the voting booth sponsored. We ran a library. It's just the biggest one you've ever seen.
Right.
That's awesome. Well, Steve, thanks again. Great insight, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, be well.
Sweet.
All right, man, good stuff. And, you know, again, he's right about that. Mike, it's just about having an opportunity to go and be safe and fast, hopefully. And you've already done your duty, so hopefully people follow suit. All right, we've got more to get to, guys, including the latest on the Falcons. Is Julio going to play? Find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.